Well, I didn't realize there was a requirement for an obligatory joke, but I guess the very full professor part will do the job. Is this okay? So today I'd like to talk about sensor transforms to improve metamerism-based watermarking. This is work done with Raja Bala at Xerox. And so, watermarking. The idea of watermarking could be you might want visible watermarks. For example, in your paper money, you would want to look at paper money and see watermarks. But here we're interested in doing something opposite. We want to embed a watermark in hard copy so that you cannot see it. But then, supposing that we change the lighting, then in a different situation, we might want to use metamerism to see the watermark. So what we'll show is that changing the lighting is a good idea, but it doesn't work all that well for bringing up a hidden watermark. And so instead, what we can do is also interpose a camera and display system, and that helps. We can see the watermark better. But then it turns out that if we do a sensor transform, then that's probably the best thing to do as well, on top of that. So again, the idea is to use color to hide a watermark and then also to bring it up later. So the idea is that the watermark is invisible for the human visual system, let's say, and it would be interesting to talk about what lighting that would be true for. We want it to be easily seen under a particular special environment that we invent, and also have it difficult to remove. So just to say, what we're doing here is looking at visible watermarking, or visual watermarking. I want to be able to look at a hard copy and see the watermark, as opposed to standard steganography where you're hiding information in things like in part of the DCT coefficients, that kind of thing. So we're not doing that, we're doing just visual. So a brief history of this kind of talk. Raja and co-workers 3 years ago were looking at using the fluorescence properties of the paper in order to make a watermark visible under a portable UV lamp. And here's images taken from that paper. So under D50, I guess I can't really see this watermark very well, but under UV it comes up okay, comes up quite nicely. And here's some more examples, again taken from that paper. And I can just see the watermark, I can see it. I can really see it, kind of. So that's fine. But last year, Raja and co-workers were talking about a different problem. Could we instead substitute a different lighting to bring up the watermark, one based on LED lights? So let's use narrowband LED lights because, for various reasons, like their stability and so on, and they're less expensive. So supposing that we start off with, let's just look at a pair of inks, or a pair of spectral reflectance functions with spectra that are metameric under D50. So here's, again, this is taken from the last year's paper. So these particular spectra are meant to be metameric under D50. And the particular ones in use are max black and min black on an isocolor locus. So Raja's idea last year was, and co-workers, was to say, I noticed something here, that there's a big difference between the ink reflectance spectra at a particular wavelength range. In absolute value, maybe a couple or three different places where the spectra are quite different. So would it not be possible then for us to use lighting that's particularly selected to shine in those spots to bring up the watermark best. And here's what the output looks like. So on my display, I can just read the watermark. That's not a good thing. But here's the output under LED lighting. So this is meant to be a good-ish result, but it's not a very strong result. So it's not bad. Another example from that paper is, I think that we're looking at a detail here. So I can't see a watermark there, but under LED lighting, and again, this is human visual system, we can see a watermark. But is it not possible to do a better job? I want to see the watermark more clearly. So far we used aluminum metamerism in order to see the watermark, but we could break apart the equivalency of the color if we used observer metamerism as well by putting in a camera. So the thought is, supposing we stick with our LED lighting, because that seems to be a good idea, and then put in a camcorder or a scanner or something. So more brief history. Last year, a paper was talking about, well, what happens if people are illegally copying a digital cinema with a camcorder? So this is a problem. So cinema piracy. Could we not use the observer metamerism in order to catch them at that by embedding a watermark in the digital cinema that would show up because of observer metamerism? So they were using a 3-primary projector for part of the film and 4 primaries for the watermark, and the camcorder could indeed see the difference. But they discovered that if you want the watermark to be invisible for the human visual system, that's actually a kind of a tough task. If you're saying, I want it to be invisible for all normal observers, it turned out to be there's so much variability in what is a normal observer that a substantial percentage of the audience could see the watermark, so that's not a good thing. So I'm not sure how to fix that. Here we're going to be talking about hard copy, not video. And since the thought is to interpose a camera system, well, we can do image processing then. We have a camera plus display. So we can use a transform to a new color space. So let's suppose that I've got an image, or one frame, let's say, and just vector out the image. So supposing the image is now n by 3, and we put in a color space transform. So let's have an n by 3 times a 3 by 3 gives us an n by 3, supposing this is my new image in a new color space. So what should we be doing to optimally create a color space transform, this 3 by 3, in order to disambiguate a foreground from the background, so bring up the watermark? So here's our same equation, and the thought is, let's optimize on M, that should be quite okay. But while we're at it, actually we have available quite a number of different LED light peak frequencies. So why don't we optimize on the LED lighting as well, since we could do that. So here, let's start off with 3 metameric ink pairs. So 6 spectra and that are metameric under D50. And again, here we're just using max K, min K pairs, but we could fix that better perhaps. So the idea is that the solid blue and the dashed blue are metamers under D50, and so are the red and the green. And now let's take the differences. So let me look at the spectra again. So I'm taking blue minus blue, red minus red, and green minus green, and what does that look like? So I've got 3 colors that I can print with, let's say. And lo and behold, it's same as last year idea, that there seems to be a max absolute value difference wavelength range. So perhaps what we should be doing is using LED lights. And these ones come out to be something like 500, 580, and 660. So okay, supposing, or you could argue differently, but I'm going to use 3 LEDs now. And we'll start off by using a fixed set of LEDs, and then if we're interested, then later we can try to optimize on the LEDs as well, but let's just start with fixed LEDs. So here's what these inks look like under D50, and there are actually six bands here, so there's material one and material two, and they look pretty metameric to me under D50, material three, material four, material five, material six. How about under D65? Well, actually, I can just sort of see a little bit of breaking here on my display. I'm not sure what you can see. So, okay, but they're still pretty good. Good in the sense that I don't want to see the watermark under daylight. So how about under our LED lights? Well, the colors shift greatly, of course, and I can see a little bit of breaking, and that's fine. And then this kind of verifies the result from last year. You put on LED lighting and you see some difference, but really not very much. So this is not a very satisfying result. So let's add a camera. So here's our, this happens to be a particular digital still camera I'm using. And under D50, you can have a little bit of breaking apart. So it's not too bad. I mean, I don't know if you can see it, but I can see a little bit of breaking. Under D65, a little bit of breaking. Under the LEDs, well, actually, it looks even worse to me with this particular camera. So yeah, that's not so great. So let's add our matrix M. So what should we be aiming? What should we be aiming towards with an optimization? Well, it would be good to have the transform color space give us positive color, or at least no negative color, so that we can see it on the display. And how about we just use a, not a least squares, but let's use a max squares quadratic program in order to maximize the sum of square differences between the two members of each pair. So if you've got blue and blue, we want to have a maximum distance between the RGBs that we pop out in our transformed color space. Well, I know the answer to that. Let's set M to infinity. So therefore, that won't do, so we have to put on a constraint, and we'll set a normalization. So here's what our optimization looks like. Supposing that row one is the colors under a particular light in the camera space for one half of the metamer set, and then row two is the other half of the metamer set, and what this is saying is just, can I please maximize in the new color space the sum of squared differences? And we'd like to have positive color, or non-negative at least, and what we can do for a normalization is just maximize the image to maximum brightness. So here's what our optimization looks like. So here's what the camera, this is just repeating the same images that I had before, but instead of having top and bottom, now I've got foreground and background. So under LED lighting, under a camera, this is what we could do to break apart the metamers. Here's what our optimization in for new color space does, and clearly we've done a much better job, and in fact looks like we've driven something to saturation, which is true, this is a saturated color. And we can look at how this, if we just initialize randomly, this is what the optimization is doing. It's doing sequential quadratic programming, and it's AI really, so it's making little steps and bigger steps to try to figure out what the best result would be. So far this is our best result. And clearly this would do for a watermark. So how about, so that's so far so good. Now how about optimizing on the LED lights as well? So supposing we have 31, for example, available narrowband LED illuminance, and I should say that I'm merely modeling all this stuff. So I'm modeling the LEDs with a Gaussian. So I've got 31 peak wavelengths for little Gaussians that are my LEDs. And instead of just having the lights on or off, so here are 31 lights again, supposing that we can control the weighting of the lights, so how brighter is each light? So let's let that be a 31 vector W. And it helps to make a square matrix out of those weights, and then let's say that we've got the, so we have six inks, we've got three RGBs, and we have 31 different color sets like this, because what do they look like? What do these inks look like under the 31 separate LEDs? And we can certainly measure that. And we'll split the RGB values into R1 and R2, meaning the two different sets. And again, we're going to try to maximize sum of squares. So now the optimization reads almost exactly the same, except that now we have a weight matrix, and the R's are for the 31 different colors. And this is what the optimization pushes out. So it's optimizing on the weights W. So we're maximizing the sum of squares on the matrix M and the weights W all at the same time. Which comes, it's basically an iterative max squares problem. So I see that we have a lot of weights that are about zero, and then a few weights that are not zero. And how do we do? Well, actually, it turns out we do a little bit better because we're optimizing on more. So this looks about the same as what we had before, but under this new set of lights, but actually it is a little bit better. Well, supposing that we only had an on-off for our lighting, is it possible to not have this waiting thing? Seems like a lot of maybe we need extra hardware or something to wait the lights. How about the lights are either on or off? So I'm just going to back up a little bit. If I take the top, so I'm going to take maybe the top four lights. So if we just take those top four lights and they're either on or off, then here's what our camera image looks like without any optimizations. But here we'll optimize on the matrix M. It looks about the same again, so it's actually doing quite okay. We can get a handle on what's happening by looking at the objective function, what we're trying to maximize. So this is the biggest number. And how we're doing that is by optimizing on this matrix M and on the weights W. So that's great. If we just took the top four, then we're doing not as well, but almost as well. And in fact, if we just took the top three that we started with, we're still doing pretty well. The other, all they're not zero values, but they're quite small. It's all about having LEDs or weighted LEDs, but no optimization on matrix M. So what we can discover is, that we'd better do this optimization with the matrix M. Just to point out that we're using non-perceptual differences here, so maybe a better idea to go into some perceptual uniform color space. So what can we conclude? That this matrixing has a dramatic effect, and float weights are good, excellent, but binarizing, going to lights on or off is almost as good. For future, well, we're only using max K and min K inks. Maybe it's smarter to optimize on the inks too. Let's throw that into an optimization. After all, we only have to do the optimization once. So far, I'm just turning D50 on to turning D65 on. Maybe it would be smart to optimize on the idea that the inks are invisible under a whole range of daylights for normal observers. And what is a normal observer? That would be another question. It'd be good to throw in perceptual differences. We could just use C-Lab and even go to the middle of the C-Lab to the zero of the C-Lab transform using a Jacobian. Then we'd still have a linear problem. I noticed that some of the metamer pairs don't separate as much as the other ones. Maybe we could be weighting some pairs more or trying to get them all to have the same difference. Could be a good idea to model the LEDs better. And another thing is that from transactions on graphics paper that I and co-workers did last year, we could just simply design some lights and try to make them better. So that paper is about visualization of, it's for volume rendering actually, and for some surface graphics. But the thought, that's a big optimizer that we constructed, which is online, and it has to do with putting in some reflectances, putting in some lights, and then setting some objectives like this kind of problem here for having lighting change which brings up certain features in graphics or puts them down. But anyway, it's an engine for generating spectra, and we could be using that here. And certainly we could be using more than three metamer pairs. Thanks for the support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We have time for a couple of short questions. I see that Mike Brill is already ready.
That was a nice presentation and very clear. I wanted to make a historical point that the one can recognize the three wavelengths, the 500, 580, and 660, as being William Thornton's lights for assessing the tamarism from 1973 during the coded appearance.
Thank you, Mike.
So I think of lots of games to play with this problem. And I have a technical question. I would expect in the form of your optimization that your matrix M will be rank deficient. Did you find that?
No.
Can you explain why not?
I can't recall, but I probably threw in a rank constraint. I mean, I have a whole stack of these optimizations that I just cut and paste, so I probably threw that in to say, don't just give me a gray. Yeah, so that's a good question, of course.
So, more questions you can get Mark around lunchtime or later this afternoon. So, thanks, Mark, again.